Welcome to Marketing and the Sales Guy, a show where a sales guy attempts to show how smart he is by sharing and discussing marketing ideas with real smart people in B2B marketing. Hi, everyone. On the podcast today, I have Jeremiah Sue from Superminted, a brand management agency. Welcome, Jeremiah. Thanks so very much for being on the pod today.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Jeremy. Happy to be here.
Great. Fantastic. Listen, Jeremiah, I'm going to chat today about social media marketing. But before we jump into that, Jeremiah, can you tell us briefly what it is you're working on now and some of your past marketing roles?
Wow. Okay. Well, what I'm working on right now is a social media campaign for Disney, specifically for TikTok Shop, because Disney is actually trying to engage with a new audience, a younger audience, and going through unconventional channels to move their Disney 100 merchandise, right? But a little bit about me, I actually first forayed into marketing with video, right? In 2008, when I actually worked as an online promotions for Channel 5, a TV station in Singapore, doing all the commercials and interstitials like in your Mega Monday movie. Not the voiceover artist, but the editor. And then I worked on a lot of campaigns, a lot of freelance work. And in 2014, I started my video production company focusing on a lot of video marketing campaigns. And yeah, 2021, I actually merged with a branding and marketing agency to form Superminted. And that is a brief history of time. Hopefully that fulfills a short introduction. Didn't feel short for me, Jeremy.
Oh, that's fantastic. I think you covered everything very succinctly there. I have to apologize up front for talking to a video marketing expert in a podcast audio format. So I have to apologize for that.
It's all good.
Listen, by the sounds of things, you do a lot of kind of B2C work in your social media marketing. And we can certainly talk about that. But I was kind of curious, on the B2B side of things as well. In the social media marketing and kind of video stuff that you do, what do you see as the main differences in approach to B2B and B2C social media marketing?
Good question, Jeremy. You know, a lot of times, right, marketers always assume that, okay, B2B is very corporate, is very stringent, is very clinical, right? And then B2C is the fun, colorful rainbows, butterflies, unicorns, and leprechauns, right? But the fact of the matter is that in this day and age, B2B social media marketing or B2B marketing in general is actually shifting the treatment and the outputs and the way that actually they convey a message. Let me give you an example. So we actually did a long retainer for KPMG, right? Now, everybody knows KPMG is a big four. It's an auditing firm, business consultancy firm, finance firm. And the thing is, whenever people talk about KPMG, the first thing that comes to mind is, okay, men and women in suits, in blazers, sprouting corporate jargon, you know. But when we actually handled their socials, the first thing or one of the objectives that KPMG set as a success matrix is we need to humanize our brand. Why? Because they wanted to resonate, they wanted to be relevant, and more importantly, they wanted to engage with their audience and their community. And B2B always had this, I would say, legacy or traditional thinking of, okay, let's pander to the B2B market. But what KPMG understood is that the people who are reading the content, the people who are consuming the content, or the people who are watching the content on KPMG socials are humans. And humans have their own motivations, aspirations, inspirations. And the fact that KPMG wanted to humanize their image, I felt that it was amazing. And that's not all, you know. In terms of, to answer your question, okay, Jeremy, I'm doing like one full roundhouse, is that B2B marketing does not necessarily have to be different from B2C marketing when it comes to the messaging.
No, listen, that makes a lot of sense. And I do understand the point that it doesn't have to be that different. And the objective is to humanize the brand. So, a lot of the tactics and channels you use would be the same as B2C. But I'm going to push back a little bit on you there, Jeremiah, and ask you, there must be some media channels that are better suited to B2B versus B2C. Are there some channels that really work very well for B2B? I mean, obviously LinkedIn is an obvious one, but are there any kind of surprising channels or things we might be surprised about?
Wow, that's a very good pushback, Jeremy. No surprise, right? LinkedIn is the perfect channel for B2B content. But before I develop on that, LinkedIn is also changing. Why? Because of the emergence of the new affluent and also the new business owners, which are the young or the young at heart. Okay, give you an example. Jake Brock, who actually runs Gen Z marketing, the way he actually crafts his message for LinkedIn is very different from maybe someone who has been in the industry for a long time, because his message that he wants to put forth is meant for a different audience. Even people like Ryan Reynolds, who's very active on LinkedIn with his Maximum Effort marketing agency, the way he also crafts his message on LinkedIn is very different. It is almost like Facebook for business, right? So the way that they relate, or the way that they type their content or craft their flow of narrative is not very business-like. Now, to answer your question about, okay, what platforms has been surprising when it comes to B2B, I would have to say that TikTok is a pretty good channel for B2B. Now, why do I say that? Okay, I'm pretty sure listeners will be like, what? That's blasphemy. Well, TikTok, right, as a platform, has a lot of different kinds of content and formats. But anybody can put out a message on TikTok and resonate with a wide audience. That's the beauty of social, right? When it comes to let's say, give you a case study of educational content, right? So maybe an insurance firm or a real estate agency can actually do B2B content by putting out edutainment or infotainment on TikTok to engage with a new audience, or a slice of the market that are not on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. Okay. They can also put out content that actually talks to C-level people. Why? Because the newer generation, I would say the current generation of business owners who might not be super young, are also trying to understand these new platforms so that they can stay relevant with their audience. So if there was one channel that would be surprising, I would say TikTok is actually a pretty good place for B2B. Yeah, but that's more of the global sphere. But I'm pretty sure, Jeremy, you might have some insights as well with platforms like Xiaohongshu or Douyin, because those are more geared towards the China market. But that's a whole different conversation altogether.
Yeah, no, I quite agree. That's a whole different conversation. But no, I think you made some excellent points there. And just the fact that the dynamic of customers and people that are interacting on different social platforms is constantly changing. It's not a given. It's not static. But also, I think you make a
Correct.
really interesting point. I think a lot of B2B marketing has been focused on knowing the audience and extreme kind of targeting and engagement of that audience. But there's something being lost about having a kind of wider net to cast and kind of engage a new audience. I think that's sometimes forgotten in this kind of hyper personalization and targeting of an audience. We forget that we have to cast the net a little bit wider sometimes. No, I think you made some great
True.
points there. Let's just moving off that a little bit, just Can you give me an idea of what some of the common mistakes are that B2B companies make when it comes to social media marketing?
Okay, the main mistake, right, that I have observed with clients that actually send in interest is that they always want to make it as generic as possible. What do I mean? They don't use faces, they don't use people, they just use maybe a carousel with information on it. Is that wrong? No, that is fine because there are people who absorb information differently, right? But my recommendation always, especially for B2B, is to put a face to the content or at least put a personality to the content. Why? Because people follow people. People don't follow organizations. People don't follow brands unless the brand is personified by an emotion. So take for example, okay, these people on social right now doing B2B marketing like Gary Vaynerchuk, like Alex Hormozi, or even Cody Sanchez, these people, they do B2B content, right? But they put their face in the public spotlight representing the brand that they are running, which is good and bad, okay? Good because there is a face. And it feels like when you're watching the content or absorbing, consuming the content, you are having a conversation with these people. If you put a faceless entity in your B2B marketing, there is no conversation. It is like you facing a wall and just like talking to yourself. Okay. So to summarize, right, I would say that the main common mistake is that brands put out generic faceless content when they should be humanizing their B2B marketing.
Yeah, no, I think that's an excellent point. I think it goes back to your earlier point about humanizing the brand. And yeah, there's definitely a way too much kind of just event sharing and not enough thought leaders or people, spokespeople or people that you can put in front of your brand. So
Exactly.
when it comes to measuring, I mean, obviously in B2B, again, stressing B2B, there are budgets here that are under stress and people want to see the effectiveness of these kind of budgets. How can companies measure the effectiveness really accurately of social media marketing efforts?
Okay, this is the age-old question, man, that everybody always asks, right? What is my ROI? If I put in 10,000, I want to see what the effects are or the impact. Well, the good thing about social, right, is that, of course, you have access to data analytics and you can also review where your market is coming from, who is watching your content. Okay, maybe not so much on Facebook nowadays, right? But there are still third-party platforms or services that you can use, like StackAdapt, like Hootsuite, like all these different services that helps you to analyze or at least track your movement and activity of your content, right? Now, a lot of times, brands or organizations always fall into the vanity trap of, oh, you know, I have 100,000 views. That's amazing. But then vanity metrics after a while doesn't make sense unless there is conversion, right? So a lot of our clients, right, we will always recommend looking at either the effectiveness of a campaign based on engagement and how do you derive success from engagement. It's really conversations. Okay, let me give you an example. LinkedIn, right? You do a B2B piece on LinkedIn and then you spend some money for boosting or ad, right? And then people write comments, people engage. I will always tell the brand to look at the DMs because for LinkedIn, that is the most targeted form of success. When you DM a person or when your target DMs you. Because these people are very, very specific in their role and in their scope. So if you are putting out a piece where you are trying to engage with maybe a sector of the market who are, I don't know, health, fitness people, okay, you can do your targeting. C-level people, do your targeting. Or even, you know, executive level who are very niche that only focuses on content marketing, do your targeting. So that is how we can actually track success, especially when we talk about social media analytics. Okay. Don't look at the top line vanity stuff anymore, because really it's pointless, okay, Jeremy? It is pointless unless there is conversion and impact.
Yeah, no, listen, you jumped onto something that's really interesting. I was going to ask you about engagement, because everybody kind of talks about engagement, and you did mention there the example of LinkedIn, and specifically, you know, what the measure of engagement would be on LinkedIn in terms of direct messaging. I kind of do wonder sometimes whether, you know, when you see lots of comments on a LinkedIn post, whether that, you know, what impact that does have on pipeline, or whether it's people just engaged in conversation. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Okay. Whatever I share is based off my opinion and also recommendations, right? It's not biblical truth. But whenever people engage with the content, not just in comments, okay, even in reaction, any form of engagement you can track and you can close. Well, I mean, in terms of CPE, cost per engagement, if you spend $1,000 for a LinkedIn post for ad spend, and then maybe you have 100 reactions and 50 comments, that together is already 150 people who are engaging. That is when the business development, the sales, or whoever is has the KPI of tracking to go and talk to these people. 150 leads from 1,000, which then denotes, okay, my math is, let me do the calculations. I mean, 1,000. Okay, basically it's about $1 plus 150 per lead, right? I don't know, or is it 15 cents? Seriously, my math is so bad. But then that is how you can measure your cost to the engagement. And if you don't do anything with the reactions, with the comments, or the reposts, reshares, right, it is really a waste. Because even if people give a heart or a thumbs up, that is engagement. Even if someone comments like, wow, I really like your point of view, that is engagement. You shouldn't do any form of, I would say, funneling or what is the word I'm looking for? Clean up, okay, of the engagement based off your own perceptions. Because if someone sends a really long message like, oh, I really like your point of view, blah, 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 he or she might not be interested. As opposed to someone who just gave a like or a heart, they might be interested. So do not justify the engagement based on your own perception. Just reach out to everyone. Yeah.
Now, listen, that's an excellent point, Jeremiah, and I kind of underplayed the importance there of engagement. I think you've made that pretty clear. Any kind of engagement is a positive thing that you need to build on, and not everything you do actually gives you any engagement at all. So it should be
Yeah.
valued, even if it is. No, I think that's an excellent point. Well, so going back then on that, one of the best ways, or to get that engagement, you need to obviously generate content which is going to be of relevance and interest to people. So what are the best practices that you've come across for kind of creating content for this kind of social media marketing?
Best practices. Wow. Okay. Social
Sorry,
media, right?
I've got my Harvard Business Review head on now, so I'm talking about best practices here.
It's all good. Okay, well, first, right? Let's define social media. Now, social media is a platform. It is a channel. It is a medium for you to put your message out, right? But it is also a form of digital branding. Now, digital branding is what you do or don't do online. Now, let me repeat that. Digital branding is everything you do and don't do online. So when it comes to best practices, right, the first thing you need to understand is the target audience who is pegged to the platform. certain platforms have a different audience on it, right? But once again, we cannot play, God in terms of understanding the platforms, because one day I might be on TikTok, the next I might be on LinkedIn, the following day I might be on Facebook. But when we talk about generalizing or at least profiling the different platforms, each platform has a very, very different type of target audience that uses it regularly in terms of frequency. With the understanding of the platform, the nuances of the target audience, that is when you start to think about what you should do, what you shouldn't do online. That is the main mantra if you were to talk about best practices. It doesn't boil down to the tacticals or the mechanics of, oh, how many posts should I put out? How long is the video? What is the copy write-up about? It's not about that. The best practice is really about the why. Understanding your strategy, understanding your objective, understanding what you need to do. And then from there, you will have clarity from going from zero to one. What you need to do, what you need to get there, and what you do and don't do in between online on social. So this is something that I always, always try to impress the importance for clients whenever they ask. Because a lot of times, marketers, especially B2B marketers, are very, very embroiled in the understanding of, okay, I need to put out four posts a month. But my question to them is, why? Why four posts? Even deeper, why four posts on LinkedIn? Why? Right? If there is no rhyme or reason, then my suggestion or recommendation is always don't do, because then you're going to be wasting your B2B marketing dollars when you can actually relocate that marketing spend to something more effective.
Yeah, no, listen, that makes a great deal of sense. Actually, I was going to ask you on the technicalities. You mentioned that's not such an issue, but do you have a view on, for LinkedIn, for example, what are the best days to post? What are the best times? You often hear research conducted suggesting what are the best times and days. Do you have a view on that?
Oh my gosh, Jeremy. Boy, do I have a view on that. Okay, now I'm probably going to offend some listeners right now, but my view is screw all the research, okay? Because why? Whether is it AC Nielsen, whether is it any form of research, Cambridge, okay, maybe not Cambridge, but all these research entities, what they're giving you is a very, very general top line view of, oh, best day to post, best time to post, what you should post, who you should post to, where you should post, things like that. I've been honest the whole time, okay, but my super honest view on this is that it doesn't matter. What matters is where your audience is. That is when you should post, okay? But how do you define that and how do you get to that data? It is through A/B testing. So let me give you an example. Not on LinkedIn, but same principles and foundations. In Superminted, we push out a newsletter every week, right? We actually experimented with our EDM account. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We tried it, okay, first 3 months on Monday, next 3 months on Tuesday, even different timings. And from 1 year's worth of data, we determine the best time that our readers or clients who subscribe to our newsletter actually opens, read, and click is Thursday, 11:45 a.m. before they head for lunch. All right? So with that same principle and understanding on LinkedIn or even any social platform, go and do your testing to determine when your audience is online. Because research or even, papers or reports is only good theoretically until you put in the exercise of publishing. Because if you don't, you are just it's just a mental exercise. So to answer your question, Jeremy, no, don't follow whatever people tell you to do.
Well, I've
Just
got
look at your own audience.
yeah, I've got to ignore that a little bit because I've just written down Thursday 11 a.m. and you saved me a lot of research time. I'm going to send out all my newsletters Thursday 11 a.m. now, so thanks for that.
No, Thursday 11:45 a.m. But that's for our Singapore audience. I don't
Right.
know what the audience is like on in Hong Kong, so.
No, you make a great point there. No, listen, you see a lot of people talking about using different channels and getting the balance between promoting your brand and promoting, content and value to your audience is something that, again, people have equations for, four pieces of content which are to educate your audience and then one promotional piece. I don't really kind of subscribe to that view. It obviously depends on your audience, but do you have any thought about how to get the balance right between promoting your brand or service and just providing value and educational content for the audience?
Very good question, right? Do you sell or do you share? Do you convince or do you consult? Right? So taking a page out of the playbook of my very good friend Joe Escobedo, I would say that you should 100% always just do content marketing. And content marketing is basically the format of building your services or your capabilities and your expertise into the content. So it never ever feel like you are selling. So if you were to look at a lot of marketing gurus out there, a lot of their content is always educational, right? Educational with maybe a very small backlink to their own site to talk about, okay, if you're interested, subscribe. If you'd like to join my workshop, this is the teaser. So I would think it is all about not, okay, I wouldn't call it content balance, okay, Jeremy. I would call it content integration. Integrating selling and sharing into one piece instead of segregating it. Right, balancing it all, four pieces of info, one piece of selling. Why? Because nowadays people are very clever, they're very smart, and they're very susceptible to certain pieces of marketing messages blasted at them. They tend not to react or respond well when it is clearly a sale. Okay, maybe if it's a fire sale for sneakers or shoes or that's a different story, right? But if I were to overtly in this podcast say, oh, you know what, Super Minted brand management, we are the best. We have clients like, Disney, Rolls-Royce, KPMG, Siemens. Oh, work with us because you will never be disappointed. Immediately people will shut down, right? Because they can sense that I'm selling. But if I were to share like how I have been sharing with case studies, people would then bring down their barriers and they won't have a resistance to a conversation. So, but Jeremy, this is just my point of view, especially when I speak to clients. But of course, clients have KPIs to hit and they have bosses to answer to, right, Jeremy? So a lot of times, if they aren't really accepting or willing of integration, then my suggestion for balance is whatever you said. The ratio maybe 6 to 4. 6 is sharing, 4 is selling. Okay, but with all things considered, once again, Jeremy, it boils down to the objective, your target audience, and your purpose of intent. Why do you need to put out a piece of content that's selling? And why do you need to put out a piece of content that is sharing? Do you need to convince or do you need to consult? That is the main question any B2B marketer should ask themselves before embarking on an actual campaign.
Yeah, no, listen, I agree with a lot of that, Jeremiah. And Yeah, I think everybody intuitively knows people don't like to be sold to. I think the difficulty, certainly in B2B, is when there are other stakeholders involved in the company that want to get a more direct message out there. That is, I think, where there is a challenge. But no, I kind of agree with everything you say there. Hey, listen, this is something that's always kind of, especially in social media, which changes so dramatically. How is it on earth possible these days to stay up with all the latest trends that are going on in social media marketing? How is that possible at all?
Well, there are AI tools to actually help you to summarize information. And there's also AI platforms that I would say curate content or news so that it's easier for you to digest. But personally, for me and my growth marketing team, I tell them to, of course, subscribe to other industry players, other giants of industry like The Hustle, like Daily Carnage, like TechCrunch, like HubSpot Marketing Blog as well. Because these are the, to me, these are the newsletters that are very informative, very in the know, in the now, and very relevant. Because they try to upkeep their methods, their strategies, not only for traditional media, but also for the emerging media, especially like TikTok, even Snapchat or other platforms like Lemonade. Apparently there's a new platform called Lemonade and the other one, BeReal, you know. So now, Jeremy, social platforms will always change. Okay, algorithms will always change. The thing that doesn't change is how you can present your brand, how you can present your narrative for marketing, and how B2B marketers can have understanding of frameworks, principles, and foundation of marketing. That will never change. So it is always about assimilating to different platforms and going with the times. Okay. The best person I really, really look up to whenever it comes to this, it's people like Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, even legacy people like Tony Robbins is also, or what's the founder of Virgin? Oh my gosh, Richard Branson, right? Also very involved in all of these social channels because they want to be relevant, stay relevant, but more importantly, be true and be authentic to themselves and to their audience. So yeah, these are just some like things that I do and my team does to make sure we stay updated.
No, that is incredibly useful. Again, I was making notes and jotting those down. But now, listen, Jeremiah, some great insights today. I actually really enjoyed our conversation. So, really want to thank you very much for being on the podcast. It's been great to have a chat with you today.
Hey, Jeremy, like I always say, it is always an honor. My purpose on this earth is to entertain, educate, inform, and inspire. So glad I had some form of impact to you and hopefully your listeners as well.
No, you definitely have, Jeremiah. It's been really very entertaining and very interesting. Listen, if people wanted to reach out to you, what is the best way people can reach out to you, Jeremiah?
Well, I being a founder and also CMO that is building my company online publicly, you can actually find me at A with the circle at the Jeremiah Su on all channels. But I am most active when it comes to B2B stuff on LinkedIn. So yeah, reach out to me, drop me a DM or a comment, and I'll be happy to have a conversation with you.
Great. That is fantastic, Jeremiah. Once again, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
My pleasure, Jeremy. Have an amazing week and end of the year, man. Woohoo!
Yeah, you too. Thanks very much, Jeremiah. So, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, do share. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you want to access other podcasts and related articles, you can visit us at omjmedia.com. That's omjmedia.com. Until next time, bye-bye.